You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Garibaldi Reds, a Nottingham Forest podcast. It's just gone after 5 o'clock, near enough 5:10 here in the UK. And as Forest hold Luton to a draw, or should I say Luton hold Forest to a draw, them scoring quite late on from a set piece. There's a surprise to join me. Good to see him, Mark Turner, all the way from... where are you today, Mark? Still in America?
I am, yep, Colorado. In the last week, I've been in Puerto Rico, Minnesota, and then back to my stomping ground here in Colorado. So delighted to see you today, Max.
Yes, good to talk. Albeit we'd like to be talking about a Forest win, which isn't the narrative, sadly. 19 goals now conceded from set pieces for Forest and only 9 points away from home all season. The stats don't look good. It is now 1-14 in all competitions, which if you include without the extra time and things like that within the cup. So the stats aren't good and pressure starts to mount on Forest given a potential points deduction on Monday. Do keep your comments coming on YouTube and Facebook. We'll start with a few. James says, clueless from Nuno. I bet Luton couldn't believe their luck. Do keep them coming on YouTube as well. Dave says, do we know if there was injuries or was it negative subs again by Nuno? I think it was more injuries. Chris Wood seemed to go off with an injury. Anne says, we're doomed. Sorry, but with a points deduction, we have no chance. Not what we want to be talking about on a Saturday evening. Mark, then, what did you make of the game? Give us your overall thoughts. And just so disappointing to concede once again so late on, but you just felt like it was inevitable, really, with Forest this season.
Yeah, I mean, a few things that jump out at me, Max. You mentioned those shocking stats at the top of the show. I'm going to throw one in the mix as well. I believe it's one game in 18 since we kept a clean sheet, which is only one game within 18 that we kept a clean sheet, which is kind of remarkable, really, and feeds into the narrative that this is relegation form. In terms of the substitutions, I know we'll probably come onto that a bit more later in the pod when we talk about the changes Nuno made. It did look like at least two of them there were because of injuries. You mentioned Chris Wood already and Morgan Gibbs-White was clearly struggling after falling on the same shoulder in quick succession. I think the thing that jumps out at me though, Max, and really it makes it difficult to see beyond relegation, is that every team we are coming up against, regardless of where they are in the league, look like a team. I don't think we've looked like a team all season, with the exception of maybe a handful of games, three or four games where we've strung it together and we've gone, yep, we can see it. We can see what we're trying to do. The lads all seem to be on the same page. There's a Forest way, like it's evident in this match. We're just not seeing that enough. And I think you've got teams like Luton, Burnley obviously pulled out a win today against Brentford. You've got Everton battling for their lives and they look together. They look cohesive. It terrifies me. We do not have that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It is worrying, and given the news that is likely to come out on Monday as well with a potential points deduction, it's likely it's going to be a points deduction. It will just depend how many. Ben says on Facebook, didn't go for the second goal, negative approach. Michael says Nuno can't blame the officials this week. Glyn with an interesting point. The club couldn't possibly be in any worse position if Steve Cooper had stayed. It's just one poor game after another. Daniel says Nuno's subs are baffling. This one says, don't forget Luton's best players were out injured. We're going to touch on this in a minute, but an interesting comment from Phil. It seems, how is Gibbs-White still taking corners? The amount of times we hit the first man or it went out, attacking chances wasted. Once again, Forest create chances, but don't take the mark. And that seems to be a problem. Again, one of the underlying issues. We'll get onto set pieces in a minute, conceding and attacking. But in terms of chances that Forest are creating, Origi particularly in the first half, it was another slow start for Forest, but Origi had an abundance of chances, missed them. And you wonder what Callum Hudson-Odoi has done wrong to find himself on the bench. And for me, probably would have taken at least one of those chances. I just wonder whether, again, the starting 11 was right. What did you make of the team? He went for a bit of a strong team, shall we say, in terms of defending set pieces. We've had Willy Bolly back and certainly when Felipe came on. But in terms of attacking-wise, it was a little bit questionable again, do you not think?
Yeah, and I'm hoping we talk a bit about Bolly and Murillo and even Sells a little later in this episode as well. But focusing on the attack, I agree with you. I mean, I made my notes here. I said we're horribly inconsistent in front of goal. You know, the only player that you can seem to rely on, and obviously Awoniyi is a fantastic forward, but evidently he's made of hobnobs. So any player he's able to rely on is Chris Wood. He knows what he's doing, right? He's a seasoned pro, and you can by and large rely on him to do the right thing, to make the right decisions, whether that's holding the ball up, laying it off, flicking it on, or even finishing as he did so masterfully today. But everyone around him, yeah, it just seems to be a coin toss, whether it's MGW, whether it's Hudson-Odoi, and Langer, and like you said, Origi was particularly at fault today. Forest should have put this game away. They really should have done. And you know, one of the things that we've struggled horribly with in the last dozen or so games has been our defensive performances. The goals have tailed off a little bit, but coupled with that, we've seen weakness in defence, and we didn't see that today. I thought our defence was pretty resolute. And when you have a display like that, from your rear guard, you've got to make the most of it at the other end of the field, and Forest have those opportunities.
Yeah, completely agree. Keep your comments coming. Nottingham Forest News on Facebook and Garibaldi Red on YouTube. We are live for the next 15 minutes or so. Nick says, why do they stop playing after 75 minutes? Origi and Sangare are stealing a living. Mm. Simon says, the one thing you don't do is invite Luton onto you with 10 minutes to go and only a 1-0 lead. It's basic stuff. No one went up top as an outlet. Once Wood went off, should have left Origi on. He'd have been bothering the Luton defence all game. Why not put Ribeiro on and replace a striker with a striker? Our set pieces are shocking, as well as attacking and defending. We'll get on set pieces shortly, promise we will. But I just wanted to touch on the first 20 minutes mark of the game. Slow start again. It took Forest a while to grow into it. Yes, there's a big atmosphere. Yes, it's a big occasion, a cup final, as people have been talking about. But there's no excuse there. The players have got to be up for it. And in certain parts of the game for me, particularly the first 20 and arguably the last 20 of the game, they just didn't seem up for it at all.
Yeah, I mean, what were your thoughts on that first 20 minutes? It looked to me like we looked very nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, very, very tentative. And we were letting Ross Barkley run the show. And I would argue there hasn't been a better English midfielder in the Premier League this season than Ross Barkley. There are others that are perhaps on par, but there's really no one I see as head and shoulders above him. When he gets a hold of the game, he can do it all. And his, you know, we are going to talk about set pieces, I know, but his delivery from a dead ball situation is, again, is as good as any English midfielder, I think, in the league currently. So that first 20 minutes, we were very nervous. And again, letting Barkley run the show, I was buoyed initially by the fact that Yates seemed to be shadowing him. I'm like, okay, well, that's a great matchup. Maybe Yates will shut him down. But then as that sort of first 10, 15, 20 minutes rolled on, I noticed Yates dropping deeper, and Yates and Sangare were very square of one another. And so they were creating these huge gaps between our attacking line, our midfield, and our defense. And whenever Luton played the ball out wide, they were then exploiting those spaces in behind Yates and Sangare. And one thing that Ross Barkley also brings to that Luton team, which Morgan Gibbs-White brings in bursts, is the desire to run off, right? To run off your forward. And when MGW does that, he looks great at it. He wasn't doing it enough in the first half. They did it more in the second half. But again, Barkley was causing all kinds of problems. I noticed after about 20 minutes, Max, that Sangare seemed to drop in a little deeper.
Yeah.
So he had a little bit more definition. And he was also sliding from left to right as well to try and give us a numerical advantage whenever Luton shifted the ball. But it was, again, same old story, Max. Like, why can't Forest start hot? Like, why do we have to give the other team, 20 minutes to establish themselves and put us under the cosh before we finally wake up? I mean, we're complaining here about the last 15, 20 minutes of the game, and rightly so. But, Lord, can we do something about the first 15 or 20 as well?
Yeah, exactly. And it seems to be that mentality where the players just switch off. It was the same last season, but it seems to be more evident this season, particularly under Nuno, I'd argue as well.
Yeah, and the Cooper point's a great one. Like, I love Steve Cooper. I know you did too. It was hard to construct an argument about you can't sack Cooper at this point in time. He was on a terrible run of form. But now you look at where we're at, and again, to the earlier comment, would we be in any worse of a position? I don't know. I think there's an argument to be made. We might even be in a better one. I mean, Cooper turned it around last year, so who's to know, I suppose. But frustrating.
Yeah.
Frustrating.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll be a point that will dominate the kind of terraces and Forest fans talking to each other in the next few weeks about Nuno, because he will face, he will come under pressure. And as we've said in previous podcasts, will he have that time to turn it around? And will he have the fans on his side? It's an interesting one. Mm. Ben says, undone by another set piece, should have killed the game off.
Yeah.
This has to be down to the manager. That brings me on to my next point quite nicely, set pieces. So many comments, so please do keep them coming and watching on Garibaldi Red and Nottingham Forest News as well. If you're listening back, thank you. Mark, let's talk about set pieces. I just feel like every single podcast we're talking about them. A set piece coach was hired for Forest, albeit before Nuno's arrival. Let's face it, it's done nothing. It's done absolutely nothing. 19 goals now for Forest conceded from set pieces, as I said at the start of the podcast. That's the worst in the Premier League. We've got the worst record, and I'd actually like to know where it faces up in the whole of the Football League. I don't have the information to hand, but it'll be pretty, pretty low. Just poor again. Not only attacking them, Morgan Gibbs-White can't seem to beat the first man, but defending them yet again. And ultimately, it leads to a goal. And Forest walk away with a point rather than three this time.
Yeah, I mean, we had that comment earlier, didn't we, that Origi and Sangare are stealing a living. Goodness gracious, if anyone's stealing a living at Forest other than Harry Arter, it must be the set-piece coach. I mean, it is. It's astonishing, Max. I mean, the numbers, they're beyond concerning. They're now in the realms of embarrassing. I mean, it's really terrible that a top flight team can't do more with set pieces at either end of the field. Had a great comment actually in the Nottingham Forest North American supporters group, WAV group that we have, and I'm not going to WhatsApp group, I should say, that we have, and I'm not going to name names here because I didn't ask the individual if I could use this quote, but it's too good not to share.
Yep.
This was following the goal Forest scored. He says a no-look pass from Morgan Gibbs-White. Maybe he should do no-look corners and free kicks.
It's a good point.
It is a good
point. Very good point.
But it, when Morgan Gibbs-White came off at the end, and I think it was because of injury largely, or just wanted to make sure that, his shoulder didn't get jacked up any further. I was excited because it was an opportunity for other players to take some of those set pieces. Obviously, Callum Hudson-Odoi, I think, took two corners. One of them came in a little low. The other one was a decent effort. I just look around the team and I think there have to be players there who can deliver set pieces, who can certainly deliver corners other than Morgan Gibbs-White. Callum Hudson-Odoi is certainly one candidate. Toffolo and Williams, we've seen them deliver balls in from those fullback positions. So why not give them an opportunity from the corner flag? I just don't understand this this compulsion for Morgan Gibbs-White to take every single set piece for Forest. At the other end of the field, again, I think Murillo, Bolly, and again, Williams in particular did fantastic in the air today, especially from open play.
That was a positive for me,
yeah.
I've actually got that in my notes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know we're kind of changing tact here a little bit, but while I've mentioned his name, I've got to say, for me, Nico Williams is, I don't like hyperbole, so I'm not going to say the best player in Forest right now, but heaven's sakes, he couldn't get a game, you know, a dozen matches ago. And now he's, I think, without doubt, the best fullback we have. He's doing things at both ends of the field, clearing the ball off the line, getting his headers in, and then supporting the attack as well and making contributions at that end of the field. So I do want to give him a quick shout out. But yeah, my heavens, I don't know what to say about the set pieces, Max. I feel like I'm going around and around in circles here, and I feel like you and the other guys talk about this every single week on this show.
Yeah, we do, and something needs to be done drastically, because ultimately it's costing Forest points, and given a points deduction, Forest will find themselves relegated if they're not careful. It's as simple as that. When you look at this game, Mark, and all the noise surrounding it beforehand, and people talking about it being a must win, and it really was, but it was also a must not lose, shall we say. To come away with a point, it is disappointing given that Forest were in the lead. Do you still feel positive in a way, Mark? Do you still have faith that Forest will survive?
I honestly don't. I don't want to say that out loud, and certainly not in a public forum, and here I am. But
is that with a points deduction or without a points deduction that you think Forest
will
survive?
It comes back to my opening comments, Max, which is this is not a team. The pieces don't go together. There is no cohesiveness. In our central midfield in particular, the connectivity in there, evidence of it, has been few and far between. Our attackers are too sporadic when it comes to taking their chances. I just don't see enough throughout the field that suggests that these guys are going to come together and pull it out. Yeah, I'm really struggling with it. I didn't want to say that out loud, certainly not on a public forum, but here I am. I mean, I've got to be realistic about it. Something needs to change, and we have 9 games left. It needs to change very rapidly.
With that change, I hate to ask, I'm going to bring on this comment, actually, because lots coming in to us about Nuno and his future, actually. Why did we sign attacking options of Reina and Ribeiro and then bring on the likes of Felipe? Nuno is clueless. He needs to go now. This one, honestly, the atmosphere has been very poor at home this season compared to last season, guessing about kind of away from home as well. But I kind of heard the Forest fans, to be fair, throughout listening on the radio as well and watching. Do you think Nuno is now under pressure? Well, I think Nuno is under pressure. Would a managerial change work, Mark? Really difficult question, but for 9 games left, is that the last thing that Forest need, or could it bring some sense of change? As you mentioned there, we're kind of crying out now for a bit of change, anything we can get hold of to try and get points together.
So what I hear there is you're advocating for Steve Cooper to come back, isn't that what?
I wonder, it would be the strangest appointment. Well, I don't think that would be the right option at all to have Cooper back, but I also think, you know, you can understand why there is frustrations aimed at the manager today and in particular last week as well with a poor team selection.
I mean, I don't think getting rid of Nuno at this point is going to change anything. I really don't. You know, kind of a Sam Allardyce knee-jerk panic, although actually, having said that, Neil Warnock just left Aberdeen, so there you go.
Perfect. Don't even go there, Mark. Don't even go there. It's not a thought I want on a Saturday evening. Not a thought I want to be talking about Neil Warnock.
Honestly, I think the shoe's on the other foot. I think if Forest do get relegated, Nuno will leave. I genuinely think that. I think we're just seeing so much frustration from him right now. And I think if Forest go down, they're going to struggle with the roster that they have, with the squad that they have. And they're going to struggle certainly with the wage bill. I think they're going to hemorrhage players in a similar way to the way that Leicester did this last year. Although I know Leicester, of course, are doing fantastically well in the championship. But yeah, I don't see Nuno sticking around. I could be wrong. But yeah, I think that's the least of our worries. I think all of the comments we're seeing right now in regards to Nuno are fair. Although I temper that comment by saying when you have players get injured in a game, you have to make decisions on the fly, right? You have to make substitutions you perhaps weren't anticipating making. So I think we need to give him a little bit of latitude there. But I understand fans' frustration.
Yeah.
I just don't see that switching Nuno out right now is you know, that's going to be the fix.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think,
but it's
think
a good comment regarding.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it
Ribeiro is. And Reina.
Yeah, the attacking options that Forrest went out and signed during January and have really been yet to feature, albeit a few minutes. I want to touch on Sangare in a minute, but first of all, I kind of want to pull up another stat. 21 points lost from winning positions this season. Mm. We talked about it under Cooper. We talk about it under Nuno. Again, another problem that Forrest faced themselves in. And when we did the preview, Mark, on Friday, we talked about there needing to be leadership on the pitch today, there needing to be that fight and desire. Was that there, in your opinion? Could you see leaders on the pitch that with the 9 games to go that Forest have now, with a points deduction, that will keep Forest up? Or is this going to be a squad that's going to roll over lightly and Forest will see themselves relegated at the end of this season?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I see evidence of it in different players. I certainly see leadership qualities in Yates, in MGW, in Murillo as well, actually. I think Murillo is doing a really good job, you know, in and of himself, but certainly marshalling that defence as well. He's definitely matured and grown. He's 21 years old. I think what we've seen from him this year has been really exciting. He's been one of the few high points. So I see bits and pieces across the field. But no, you're not really seeing any one person grab this team by the scruff of the neck and certainly lead by example, right? There's a number of different ways you can demonstrate leadership, getting those vital goals, you know, actually stepping up and taking your chances or, you know, kind of driving the team forwards or contributing to that cohesiveness that we don't have, right? Bringing guys together, keeping them on plan. We're not seeing much of that. I will say that I think in terms of steadying the defense a little bit, not a lot has been said about Sells, and I want to give him a shout out because obviously there was a lot of conversation about our goalkeeping this first sort of half, two-thirds of the season. Matt Sells has come in and done literally nothing wrong with hands or feet. I mean, you can count on the fingers of one hand that have fingers to spare how many mistakes he's made since he's become Forest's number one. And I think he's been a calming influence at the back. So I don't know if that comes under the heading of leadership, Max, but he's definitely been a great addition to the team.
Yeah, I just wonder, and I keep talking about it, but under Cooper last season, and I hate to compare the two managers, but particularly more the players, is that last season you felt going into the last few games in particular, there was leaders, there was players that really were going to fight for Forest. Mm-hmm. They knew what it meant for the city. They knew what it meant to the fans, for everybody associated with the football club. This season, it just seems like there's a lack of that. You know, whether that stemmed from Cooper, that motivating mentality, but at the end of the day, it does come down to the players as professionals. And I just feel like there's a lack of leadership. There's a lack of, not effort, but there's just a lack of passion. And I highlight a player, Sangare, and we talked about him last week in the podcast. And I think potentially he is becoming a little bit of a new kind of scapegoat for Forest fans to turn to criticism. However, you can see why, you know, 40 million that Forest paid for him, a club record fee after Morgan. And the biggest question I ask, Mark, is what has Sangare done
benefited
Forest?
What is a Sangare? What is it there for? Yeah, and I had the same issues regarding Mangala before he hit his stride. And unfortunately, as soon as he hit his stride, we sold him. But no, the same issue with Sangare. And it's interesting that you mentioned Morgan Gibbs-White in the same breath because, you know, comparable transfer fees. And again, setting aside MGW's shortcomings in set pieces, the difference between what the two have contributed to this team is it's miles apart. I think I'm going to push back on you though a little bit in regards to effort. So leadership and giving it all for the cause, effort, you know, willingness to die for the shirt, they're not interchangeable. They can be a part of the same whole, but they don't have to be. You have players out there who are running through brick walls who I wouldn't necessarily are leaders per se. A good example of that might be Dominguez or Nico Williams. And I think actually we've got those players throughout, certainly the starting 11. I think with this Murillo or Bolly or the aforementioned Williams, Yates certainly is going to do that. So I think where that starts to tail off a little bit is as we get further up the field. I don't know that we've seen necessarily the same effort and the same kind of spirit at the other end of the field, which is problematic if you're trying to high press, because we're not seeing that from our front line. So, and again, that comes back to my very opening comment of how cohesive is this team? Is it really even a team? It's great if the individuals, or at least two thirds of them, are willing to go all out for the team, but you need everyone on the same page. And Sangare, I mean, I was commenting on the in the WhatsApp group earlier. This is a Sangare game. Here it is. This is the game he can grab by the scruff of the neck, and he can demonstrate just how good he is. It was clear that Nuno selected a team to get today of our bruisers, right? It was our biggest, most physical guys. I mean, I think that's perhaps why Callum Hudson-Odoi was sat on the bench. It was, you know, get boys out there who were going to battle, fight, and hold their own against a physical Luton team. Sangare should have been all over this match, and he contributed very little. Yeah. One thing I did notice about him specifically, Max, and I don't know if you saw this or not, be interested to get your take on this. Sangare likes the body up. What I mean by that is really good defensive midfielders get a piece of the ball, right? And then they might take the man at the same time. Declan Rice is a good example of that. Sangare bodies up first and may come away with the ball, but he's almost always fouling in the process, right? Are you spotting that also?
I've got in my notes Sangare ? And then underneath, constantly fouls. And not to say that other, you know, other natural midfielders don't do that in the game, not just for Forest, but also you look at a player like Ryan Yates. He is someone that fouls a lot, but he'll almost win you the amount of fouls that he will give away, almost right. Kind of evens itself out, correct? And for Sangare, for me, he's fouling and he's not winning anything back. I mean, I just thought the partnership today of Yates and Sangare didn't work. Morgan looked a little bit lost in front of them, and it just seemed like, I mean, I just think the midfield was non-existent, particularly in the first 20 and the last 20 as well.
Yeah, I was following Sangare around the field after about the first 10 minutes, when again, I was getting frustrated with how flat he and Yates were. And I was trying to track Yates. I was trying to track Yates tracking Barkley, but I was also trying to watch what Sangare's involvement was. I made a note here. I could be completely wrong. I'm not going to say I watched him like a hawk because I was watching, you know, the whole match, but I made a note here that Sangare made two successful tackles. Now, he bodied up several times. He made a couple of interceptions. As I mentioned, he slid from left to right more effectively as the game wore on to try and provide numbers when Luton were trying to come down the flanks. But in terms of actual winning tackles, taking the ball from somebody, I only counted him doing it twice. For a defensive midfielder that costs 40 million quid against a team in the relegation zone, I think that's pretty poor.
Yeah, it is. It is very poor. And it leads more questions for Forest. So much to talk about. We'll just ask you before we start to wrap up about Taiwo. Mark, huge loss, expected to be between 2 and 3 weeks. Forest, of course, international break next week. Yeah. And then a huge game against Crystal Palace at home. But the mood suddenly looks very dark on a Monday morning. Not that it's not dark enough already, although we do have this podcast to do, so that's a positive for Forest fans on a Monday morning, or many people will probably disagree.
week they might.
yeah. So, sorry, Mark. But in particular, given a points deduction on Monday, given the news that Taiwo's out, given the manager under pressure, given the situation at the club, it just doesn't make great reading or watching for Forest, does it, at the moment, especially with Taiwo now out?
Yeah, no, that's a huge blow. And obviously it depends on how long he's out for. I saw some rumours he's out for the rest of the season. I think that's people just having a panic attack. The latest news seems to be, you know, a couple of 3 weeks. But we absolutely have to have him available to us if we're going to make a fist of surviving. Again, we're waiting to see what happens in terms of the points deduction. I think general wisdom right now seems to be anywhere from 4 to 6 points. Could be less, could be more. But if it is a 6-point deduction, then we are really in the mire. And we absolutely need Taiwo. And it comes back to my earlier comment. Taiwo is not flawless when it comes to taking his opportunities, but he's more consistent than those around him. You know, if you look at the situation that Origi had today where the ball got cleared off the line, which was great defending by a Luton player, but for heaven's sakes, you have the whole goal to aim at. I'm putting my chips on Taiwo to score from there. And so having a player out there that is more consistent in those clutch moments, as we'd say here in America, it is really important. He'd be a huge loss.
Yeah, no, it is. Right, I think that will do us nicely. Any final thoughts, Mark, just going into Monday? Give us a... I mean, this really now is the time for the club to come together, isn't it? This will make or break Forest of whether we go down in the next nine games. There needs to be blood, sweat, tears on every single game, and the fans have got to play a huge part. But there's only so much the fans can do. The players have to do a lot, and Nuno has to pick the right team and make the right substitutions. And it really is now time to come together as a football club. Otherwise, we could see Forest playing Championship football again next season.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's a very sad prospect. And again, I'm sorry that I had to come out publicly and say that's kind of the way I'm leaning right now. But
I think a lot of Forest fans are feeling that way, to be honest, Mark, me included.
Yeah, it's head over heart. But I think the one thing that Forest fans, all of us need to be mindful of is that, again, if folks generally agree with my opening statement that we're not playing like a team right now, that's not going to change overnight. If we're expecting the next nine games to be flawless, reassess. Because it ain't going to happen. Mistakes are going to be made both by Nuno and by the players. We just have to hope that we make fewer than those around us, and that we have key players making the most of the moments when they present themselves. And then moments of magic, like we almost had today, right? With Murillo pinging the ball. What was that? From
maybe we should put him on set pieces. Yeah,
no, it's funny you should say that. I was actually thinking that on, like, certainly on free kicks, let him have a go. Why not? I wouldn't do it on corners necessarily because he's the threat in the box. But yeah, we have something sort of 35, 40 yards out. Let him get his laces through it. Let's see what happens. But so I think in closing, you know, Forest fans, again, this is going to be rocky, right? If we do survive, it's going to be ugly. So just get behind the team, do the best you can. This is squeaky bum time, 100%. Yeah. We'll see what happens next. Oh, my heavens.
I know. Not a nice thought at all. Mark, thank you as ever for today. Thank you for watching. So many comments, so many likes. We'll be back on Monday for our main episode. That is points deduction dependent in terms of the time and when we will see you. But we will keep you updated throughout Garibaldi Reds. And we'll be with you for the remainder of these nine crucial games as Forest look to stay up. Some stats to then close us. 21 points conceded from winning positions, 19 goals from conceded from set pieces, the worst in the Premier League. Taiwo injured, Nuno under pressure. Happy Saturday. I'm off for a pint. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.